Episode 2. Dismal meetings but surprisingly useful coffee breaks. Welcome to this cast from Global Integration. In this series, we'll share our ideas on what is different about working in large, complex, matrix and virtual organisations. These ideas come from our work with over 300 major multinationals and delivering over 100,000 participant days of training in over 40 countries. If you apply these practical ideas, you can make your team or organisation faster, less expensive to run, and more satisfying to work in. You can find out more about us at globalintegration.com or our blog lifeinamatrix.com. In this episode, I'll be talking to Kevin Hall, CEO of Global Integration and author of the book Speed Lead, about reducing the quantity and increasing the quality of meetings and conference calls. Kevin, an awful lot has been written about improving business meetings and calls, but why do you think they remain a problem?
Well, I think there's been far too much focus on how to run meetings and the skills of presenting and chairing meetings. I prefer to focus on not having unnecessary meetings in the first place and on improving things from the participants' point of view.
Do you think there are a lot of unnecessary meetings?
Well, in our survey at speedleading.com, 1,200 people who work in these large complex companies tell us they spend 40% of their time in meetings and about 50% of that is wasted. Now, if you calculate that out, that's 90 days a year in meetings, half of which are wasted. It's a scandal. In a 40-year working career, that's 8 years of unnecessary meetings. Can you imagine being invited into an irrelevant meeting about now and leaving in 2016?
Yes, I think I've been to a few meetings that felt like that. But why do you think so many business meetings are that boring?
Well, let me ask you, did you ever go to a meeting where the content was boring and irrelevant, but it was worth being there because in the evenings and the breaks you did some really interesting stuff? Most meetings, right? Well, think about what happens in the breaks and the evenings. What we do is we network, we have small group discussions, we seek out people we want to talk to, and we have a little bit of fun. Now, these things are very valuable, and they're very hard to achieve in teams where people are in different locations. So my challenge is, if those things are so valuable, and I agree they are, why don't we do that stuff in the meetings? Instead, we sit and listen to boring presentations and people projecting masses of detail onto the screen. My all-time favourite is the spreadsheet from finance, which is projected onto the wall, and the presenter says, "I know you can't read this, but I think the pattern's clear." No, it's not. Stop doing it.
So what do you think we should do about these kinds of meetings?
Well, first of all, if 50% of meetings and conference calls are unnecessary, we should start by cancelling the irrelevant content. In the last episode, we looked at the idea of star and spaghetti teams and groups. If you haven't already listened to that episode, go back and apply that concept to your meeting's content. Make sure you're not using your collective meeting time to review individual activity results, projects, and topics that are not relevant to the participants. Just take them off the agenda.
So is there anything more we can do in the way that we manage or chair our meetings?
Well, I mentioned that I thought there was too much attention paid to the presenter or chair of the meeting. To me, the mark of a great meeting is the degree of involvement of the participants, because after all, they're the majority of the people there. Face-to-face time has become relatively scarce and expensive in today's complex companies. Participants have to travel to meetings, which makes them expensive and time-consuming. So we really need to prioritise and get the best out of our meetings. So here's a tip to see how participative your meetings are now. Just draw a grid with your meetings topics down the left and the participant names across the top. At your next meeting, every time anyone talks during each topic, just make a tick in the box. And at the end, you'll have a visual record of participation. Now look at the pattern. Those topics where few people talk should probably be handled outside the meeting by a smaller group. And in many meetings where I do this, I find that fewer than 40% of people are involved in any one of the topics.
Okay, so how would you encourage more involvement in your meetings?
Well, clearly, making the topics relevant to the participants is a great start. And vice versa, only inviting the participants that are relevant to the topics. It sounds simple, but it makes a big difference. A second principle, if you don't need my participation, don't invite me to your meeting. If you just want to tell me something with no response, no participation, no involvement, you can just email it to me. Here's a good tip to focus you on this when you're planning your meetings and calls. Instead of a traditional agenda, just draw three columns on a piece of paper. In the first column, write down the outcomes you want from the session. Think about what you want the participants to know, do, or feel as a result of this session. In the second column, write down what you will do to get them to respond this way. So here's where you focus on the traditional stuff. What are you going to present? What are you going to say? What are your key points? In the third column, write down what will the participants be doing at this point. The first time you do this, you'll probably find that you focus too much on yourself. So when you've finished deciding about your presentation, you find that the participants' role in this is to shut up and listen and marvel at the intelligence of my presentation. That's not a good use of their time. So go back and think, how can I get the outcomes I want with higher levels of participation and involvement from my audience?
Okay, so are there any specific techniques that you recommend for encouraging more participation?
Well, the first, I think, is to stop presenting at people. Face-to-face time is too scarce for the passive consumption of information. Second is to try and create things together. So use post-its instead of PowerPoint. Get participants to interact and create things together. If you present the finished result to people, they don't feel as though they can change it. So leave some space for them to interact with it rather than turning the lights down and letting them view it like zombies. Next, introduce movement, small group work, anything to give people a role and to make it different than what they're expecting. Anything is better than the traditional shut up and listen presentation that takes up so much of our time in large companies.
So do you find that the people you work with actually recognise this as a problem?
I think that everyone in complex companies experiences these terrible meetings and calls, but I also recognise that it is really hard to change ingrained meeting behaviours. I hope this podcast gives listeners a framework for challenging the meetings they go to. If you do, you could save a day a week for the rest of your career. The rest is up to you. Good luck.
Well, thank you, Kevin. That was certainly challenging and very practical as always. And I certainly hope our audience also enjoyed this podcast. But it is worth remembering that all of the value of these ideas actually comes from you putting them into practice. So why not give a couple of them a try and see if they work for you? You can find out more from Kevin's book, Speed Lead: Faster, Simpler Ways to Manage People, Projects and Teams in Complex Companies. You can join the debate, ask questions or add comments about this podcast at our blog, lifeinamatrix.com. Finally, you can see more about global integration, download free articles, or contact us about our consulting and training services at globalintegration.com.